Welcome to the Business Network Show with experienced networkers and business owners, Jill Russell and Linda Cloak. Looking for the perfect stay in Maidstone? Discover comfort, style and convenience at Arida Hotels Maidstone. Whether you're visiting for business or a weekend escape, enjoy spacious rooms, a fully equipped gym, relaxing spa facilities and delicious dining, all under one roof. With easy access to local Kentish attractions and excellent service from check-in to check-out, your stay is in great hands. Book today at Arida Hotels Maidstone, where every visit feels just right.
Oh, got to reply to that quote. Did they email? No, not there. Ah, WhatsApp. No. Instagram DMs? Who's Shanice 554? Oh, it's definitely not that. Maybe they called? They did want a quote, though, I think. Oh, fuzzy logic. Every customer conversation. One inbox, one place. Finally, start for free at fuzzylogic.systems.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the networking show. The discerning among you will realise I'm not Linda. Linda's away. My name's Paul Andrews. I'm standing in for Linda this week, but I'm ably assisted by my co-host, Mr. Chris Enderby. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon.
Oh, you're right.
I'm good. Yeah.
Chris, you came hot foot earlier from Metro networking.
Yeah. We did a collaboration with Metro this morning, Metro Ashford.
Right.
Did a collaboration there, had a good networking meeting there.
Right. That's a regular thing, isn't it?
It's a regular, once a month.
Yeah.
So we came over from that.
I'll tell you what, why don't you kick off, just because it's me and not Linda, and Linda knows what I don't. Tell us a little bit about Chris and what you do, both your business and Synergy Networking.
Yeah, so obviously when we started Synergy just over 18 months ago now, everything was about Synergy. So we never really spoke about A, how we got to meet Linda, and B, what our business was before Synergy and still is during Synergy.
Right.
So I met Linda 12, 13 years ago because I had a printing business. But the printing business was started by my grandfather in 1935.
I like a family business.
So it's 91 years old.
Right.
I'm, in effect, the third/fourth generation, depending on whether you think my grandfather or my great-grandfather worked in the business or put the money in.
Right.
There's a bit of debate on that one, which makes me, if you like, the fourth. And my two boys now are in the fifth generation.
Wow. Okay.
So it's been going a long time.
It's running a family business isn't an easy thing, is it?
It's not. It's not at all. There are times when it's good, it's absolutely amazing. To run your own business is great. Mm. To run your business with your family can be incredible. But when it's bad, it can be really difficult.
Yeah.
There were times with my late dad who would just turn around and say, should we just give all this up? Let's give it all up and buy a Ferrari.
And we'd have this he's a man time. After my own heart.
It's a boy's takeover, kind of. So that was the sort of thing that we would say, give it up and buy the Ferrari.
Yeah. And running a business that's been in business that long, it's really hard to innovate, isn't it? Because you kind of get this, do I change or do I go with what's worked for 91 years? But at some point, you have to innovate.
I mean, if you look at the business started underneath a bike shop in North Croydon with one little machine that you operated with your foot.
Right.
So we would have to innovate from there.
A little bit.
But it is difficult. And what we've talked about before is you become risk averse as you get, and certainly as you get older, you become more risk averse. Mm. I had conversations with my dad saying, we need to go into this, we need to move into this area. And he's like, oh, I don't know, son, I don't know if we should spend the money. Mm. Yeah, and in fact, we wanted to do a big upgrade into the digital market.
Right.
And I kept telling my dad now, 20 years ago, I want to spend £100,000. And he's like, oh, I don't know. So I had to send him to a trade show. And halfway around the trade show, he turned to my mum and went, I've got to let him spend the money, haven't I?
Yeah.
So, yes, David, you have. And so that's how it happens.
Right.
But I can now see my boys coming to me saying, do you want to do X, Y? And I start to think, oh, do we want to spend the money? Do we need to spend the money? Mm. I've become more risk averse. You don't want that family business to fail on your watch.
Absolutely.
And that's what it comes down to, really.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's interesting, talking about innovation, have you watched Clarkson's Farm? On TV?
No, I'm not a big TV watcher.
Okay.
I'm sorry,
it's the only programme I watch on TV. I don't watch anything else. But he had a very similar thing. They went to a trade show in Holland and he ended up buying like 6 million, I'm not fibbing, 6 million quid's worth of equipment. He's got computer controlled tractors and stuff like that. And all the old traditional farmers going, well, that'll never work. But it does.
But it does.
Yeah.
And requires one person to operate the lot, probably.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all off a phone app. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That's where we do.
So tell us a little bit more about Synergy and the kind of things that happen in Synergy.
Yeah, so, I mean, we relate it to grammars. I say, you know, with grammars, I have become risk averse. And yet when we sat down with Linda to talk about doing Synergy, I think I've said this before to people in the past, you know, we had a list of the problems we wanted Synergy to solve in order to make a networking event. We literally sat down and said, what do people struggle with?
Yeah.
You know, I can't stand up and talk to a room. Well, we'll sit you on a table with six people. I won't know what to say. We'll put questions. So if you're struggling, just answer the questions. I can't get up in the morning. We'll do it in the evening. I'll be hungry. We'll give you food. All these things just went through. Yeah, including I never get to get around the room to see everybody. Mm. But we had an idea of what that structure would be.
Right.
I think some people know Linda had a dating agency. That was where we... You're not here, so I can tell the story. Where we first met Lynn, she had this dating agency. We were in a networking group. And if a new member came along, Linda would walk up to them and go, hello, my name's Linda, are you single? And I'm like, Lynn, you've got to change your patter. You can't be doing that every time. You know. But she had this dating agency and she would run dinner dances. And if she couldn't fill all the tables, she'd have a couple's table and come to Sydney and she'd go, come to BNI. Go, do you want to come? Do you want to bring some people with you? So, you know, Laura and I would go. And Laura's absolutely loved the whole format and the way it all worked. And we quickly realised the three of us could work well together.
Right.
Linda was the face. She was the hostess. She saw everybody. My job was to take the money, make sure everyone was there.
Right.
And Laura's job was to welcome the newbies. If it's difficult walking into a networking room, you know, you can imagine what it's like walking into a ballroom in your bib and tucker or your long frock or whatever and, you know, not knowing anyone. So Laura would take those and get them working, get them together.
Yeah.
So we had this idea of how the three of us would work together. So, you know, when our previous job ended and we decided to launch Synergy, we kind of already knew what the three roles would be. You know, our roles were mapped out for us.
Yeah.
So we were able to do it. And we wrote all the things about what would Synergy look like. How would the format work? Mm. The other side of what was the objective was to provide Linda with a salary.
Right.
You know, and that was it.
Right.
There was nothing longer than that, you know, and to make it as successful as it could possibly be.
Sure.
There was no risk. Yeah, if I was risk averse in the print business of 90 years, there was no risk going into...
Yeah,
into
I mean, you didn't have to invest in a lot of equipment or anything like that, yeah.
Yeah, and literally when we first started, you know, we had the sort of founder members and we kind of just went round to the friends that we knew on the networking scene and went... Give us 120 quid. Linda needs to buy Christmas presents. And a lot of them went, yeah, there you go. And just gave us the money. You know, we'd got a rough idea of what we were going to do, but we probably took in enough money there for 3 months to really develop what Synergy was going to be, hone down what we wanted, and create that business that we've got now.
Right. Absolutely. And obviously, we talked about the meeting you were at this morning at Metro in Ashford, but you do these right across the county, don't you?
We do, yeah. So the Metro collaborations, you know, they're obviously, you know, there's that one that we do and there's one in Maidstone. But we also do, you know, I mean, our own Synergy events now go from Sidcup and Dartford, so Rowhill Grange and up at Sidcup, you know, right down to the far ends of Canterbury and Whitstable.
Right.
And over to Tunbridge Wells. So we've got 10 groups in total.
Right.
And we've so far now we've had to split them between Laura and I and Lynn.
Right.
So we can get them all covered without being out every night of the week. Because we still want to go networking to you know, other work, support other networking groups at the same time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And of course you also do daytime as well as evening events.
We do now, yes. Yeah. We do daytime as well as evening. So we've got... Yeah.
It's always difficult that, isn't it? Because I used to own a place in Sheerness called Ironworks. And we had a little networking group there. And everybody go, oh, I can't come. It's in the evening. I prefer it in the morning. Okay. So we put it on in the morning. Everyone went, it'd be much better if I could come after work. And, you know, there wasn't enough to split it into two. No. Yeah.
I think that's where we've been quite lucky. We've had our Maidstone group. We grew our Maidstone group in the evening to a full, almost maximum 36 size, because 36 is the number we would like to have in every meeting, because that makes the table rotations work the best.
Right.
When we've got 36. So then, you know, people are approaching us. We get approached often by venues now,
right,
saying, will you come? Now, will you host, will you put on an event at our location?
Yeah.
Both venues and, you know, public groups, companies. We had the FSB last Thursday. They had a big boot camp thing at the Inn on the Lake.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
Can we do networking at the end of that?
Right.
We're doing Kent Trading Standards. They've got a traders only. We did one last month. We've got one next Friday for them. Mm. You know, we're working with lots of organisations like that to be able to keep going. You know, that's the way things are moving, really.
I really like the format. I mean, our guests today are Sam and Michael. Do you guys participate in these kind of meetings?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah?
Yes, it makes a big difference to our business. Yes, up to 3 years ago, I didn't know what networking was.
Right.
I met Chris and Linda through other networking groups to come to our synergy.
Right.
And even this morning, we spoke to clients who we never got the chance to speak to because I didn't know them.
Right.
And that's how half our business, or say 80% of our business, is through networking and referrals and going out and meeting people.
Right.
And seeing what we actually physically do as a business.
Okay.
It opens, we didn't know you could do that.
Mm.
So definitely.
Yeah, cool. Sam, you go along.
Any networking, you'll see my face.
Then you're there.
I'm there. Just the word networking. Look, I'm open to any sort of type of networking. What I love about Synergy is exactly what you just said, Chris, and it's the fact that you put into those awkward situations like you're talking to six people on the table, and that is business. Unfortunately, business is just one big zone that isn't your comfort zone,
right,
and that's the only way you can really grow is by talking to strangers.
So
they've nailed it on the head, really. If you want to meet new people, definitely attend a Synergy event.
Can I ask, Chris, if you belong to a group, say Ashford, could you also go to Dartford? Or
You pick your home group.
Right.
That's your home group, and within your membership fee, that includes admission to that home group.
Yeah.
But if you wanted to go to one of the others, you can visit all of them. If you're not locked out, you can go to any of the other groups for a tenner.
Okay.
That's
very good, because I agree with Sam, really. You know, you got to meet new people. And one of the things I used to do a lot of networking, and a lot of networking groups just got very stale. You know, you talk to the same eight people every time you went.
Yeah.
And you go, I need to go somewhere else. And they go, you can't go to another group unless you join twice. Really? Well, what's the point? I've met eight people now. What's the point of me coming back?
Yeah. I mean, that's it. And for Synergy, it's our job to find the people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, today, while we're at Metro today, we're talking to new people that have come along to a free event for the first time and saying to them, look, we're at the New Fox Inn in Ashford, you know, Monday week. We'd be delighted if you could come along.
Yeah.
You know, because we want to be constantly bringing in new people all the time.
Yeah.
You know, giving them the Synergy experience.
Yeah.
You know, and hopefully getting them to join.
And I like what you said about meetings taking place around tables.
Mm.
Yeah. So I'm assuming that one week you can sit on a table with however many people you have on each table, and then the next week you sit on a completely different table.
You do that within 18 minutes.
Right.
So we'll sit on the table. When we had, going back to when we had the dating agency and the dinner dances, between the three courses, the men would move.
Yeah.
So you didn't get stuck to the same next to the same person for the entire meal.
Yeah.
But the men would move courses, so they'd sit with different people.
Yeah.
So we needed to do a version of that for Synergy.
Right.
And it took us about 8-9 months to get it right.
Right.
We kept thinking we'd got it right. We'd go to the meeting. We'd set everybody down. We'd go, right, everybody move. And someone would go, I've already sat with that person. You know, it's gone wrong again. And then one July evening, we sat in Linda's back garden on a huge table with loads of bits of paper and kept moving them around. And then suddenly we went, got it. And from that moment on, it's pretty much been right every single time. In fact, if it's wrong, it's normally because somebody's gone and sat at the wrong table. And you'll walk over and go, is this table two? Has anyone got a different number? Oh, yeah, I'm three. Yeah, you're over there. You know, or some person can actually go to the loo, come back, and as they walk back, I go, you're there. Mm-hmm. And you know exactly where they're sitting because we're confident in those moves. But that means if there's 36 people in the room, you'll get three-minute conversations with at least 15 of them during that hours of formal networking. And that's where you make the connections.
Yeah.
You know, that's where you really understand what people's businesses is all about.
Yeah, no, it's good. And for small, especially micro or what are called nano businesses these days, you know, maybe sole trader or whatever, you don't have a sales force. Yeah. networking effectively becomes your entire marketing and sales output as a way of doing business.
I mean, you and I, Paul, are of an age where we remembered if you wanted more sales, you went to the next industrial estate and knocked on every single door and someone said, yes, you can come in. And most people would say no, but you knocked on doors until you found somebody.
Yeah.
In our business now, I don't think anybody comes knocking on our door.
Yeah.
Ever.
My original business when I left corporate life was Jobs in Kent, which is a recruitment board. And I launched that in 1998, which was hilarious. I'd travel around to different offices and I knock on a door and I go, are you recruiting? And they go, no, or yeah. If you're recruiting, would you like to advertise on an internet board? An into what? an internet recruitment board. Nah, that will never work, mate. It was blooming hard work.
It was too. I mean, at 17, 18, going on estates like that, no one would take me seriously.
Yeah.
So I came away. I grew a beard. I got myself a pair of glasses. Didn't need them. Got myself a pair of glasses. Went back to the same people and they went, yeah, come in. We'll listen to you. Purely because I looked older. Yeah. If I looked young enough, no one wanted to take you seriously.
Yeah.
That was the way it was.
Yeah.
Don't share the secret, Chris. Don't share.
Yeah, Sam doesn't normally have a beard.
No. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, no, and I'm really pleased that Synergy has worked out and is working out.
I think it's found its own kind of niche.
Yeah.
You know, and I've spoken about this. You know, you've got the, not, if you call it traditional networking, it makes you sound as if you're sort of perhaps being derogatory old. It's not right at all. But there is the referral networking organisations, that everybody knows. And then there's the conversational networking, what we call conversation networking, like a chamber event where you would go. But a chamber event you can go to and there can be 50, 60, 70 people. But the person you want to talk to is on the other side of the room and you never get to speak to them.
Yeah, you're trying to...
You know, it's hard enough sometimes for us. You know, you'll go thinking, I must meet new people when you go to a chamber event. You open the door and someone goes, Chris, hello. Mm-hmm. And you say hello to them, and then the next one comes, and you realise for 45 minutes you haven't moved, and you haven't met anybody new.
Right,
the ideas of what you were going into the room for have been completely undone.
Yeah.
You know, but with us, you'll get moved round.
Yeah.
You know, Synergy is structured conversational networking.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where the difference between that and the others come. And it sits itself not in between the two, kind of in between the very formal. But it gives people an opportunity to start networking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we're going to talk about Sam's in a minute, but if you want to start networking, someone comes to me and says, I want to have a go at this, Chris, where do I go? I would say, come to Synergy and go to Rookie CEO, because that's the best place to start to interact and make connections with people.
Yeah.
You'll then get confident, and that whole thing about I can't stand up into a room, you'll start to think, do you know what, maybe I could do this.
Yeah.
And then you will.
Yeah,
you know, and they'll be able, and you may well move on, and you may well decide to take up that opportunity, you know, take up that membership. Yeah. It may not be for you, but often people have come, turned up at a meeting, and I still do my formal referral networking, and some people will come there for the first time, you know, and you'll look at them, and the dread and the fear. Some of them come in, you know, tell you they're going to the loo, and you know they're not coming back.
Yeah.
You know, you say, okay, and they're just gone.
Yeah.
Because it's such a daunting starting point.
Yeah.
And you want something that isn't frightening. You want something where you feel made to feel inclusive. Yeah, from the very start, you've got people there whose entire job it is to make you feel welcome.
Absolutely.
And you go from there.
Because the alternative, and you kind of highlighted this yourself a little bit just now when you were saying you walk in there and people come at you that you know. A lot of other networking groups are just social meetings. Yeah, you're just catching up with the people you already know. Yeah, there's not a lot of new business development going on or relationship building going on with new people. So I really like the format of what you're doing. I'm not a big fan of BNI.
No.
Although I have actually interviewed on my radio show the founder of BNI, Dr. Ivor Misner. There was a really interesting story about how he founded BNI, but that's for another day. I'm not a massive fan of BNI. It doesn't suit me. But what you're doing, I really like the sound of. And in the nicest possible way, you're forcing people to talk to other people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're bringing people on, aren't we?
And that I really like. I think that's good. Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. I mean, we talk about it, you know. I met Michael, what did we say, 9 to 12 months ago?
Yeah,
didn't we?
Of course, yes.
But I think I first met you at Rookie.
Yes.
You were there first. Then he came to Synergy. Then last week when I was at BNI, somebody said, I need a drone person. So I went, I know somebody. And he came this morning. And the two people hit it off really well.
Yep.
You know, and that's because you've started with the Synergy style, and then you can move people up. Mm. You know, it almost becomes a recruitment ground for some of the bigger ones, because people will get into networking in a easier way, in a more relaxed way.
Yeah.
Than the sort of traditional go in, speak twice for 3 minutes or a minute, and then they say, right, you're going to join or not? You don't get the opportunity to experience what you do in things like Synergy.
Yeah, it's fascinating that, isn't it? How you can tell people, right, you've got to do a 2-minute introduction, and some people you can't shut up, yeah, and other people will go, oh, I don't think I could do two minutes. It's interesting that,
You know, I mean, I've had people come before when we were doing it, and they would say that one girl came, she was so nervous.
Yeah.
Bless her. She had a script, but her hands shook so violently she couldn't read the words, you know. And it took us probably 3 or 4 months to be able to calm her down, to be able to persuade her to do an entire 60 seconds, just to map out the beginning, map out the end, just fill a bit in the middle, you know. And she still read it off the paper, but she could finally get there.
Yeah. Funnily enough, many years ago, I worked as a motivational speaker on the international speaking circuit, and I also taught public speaking. And we had a survey once about things that people were scared of. And number two on the list was dying. And number one was speaking in public. So people would much rather die than speak in public. And it's a psychological thing, because people are so used to trying to format what they talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas if you met them in the pub and you went, what do you do? And they go, I'll do this. And that's all they've got to do, But they get it into their head that they've got, you know, to stand up and do unaccustomed as I am speaking in public, but please read my slide, and this is what I do. And you don't need to do that,
They align it to almost doing a wedding speech, don't they? Almost like I'm going to be the best man every week. No, you're not. You're just going to stand up and just tell people.
Just tell people what you do. I'll quickly tell you the story about how I got into speaking. 35 years ago, I invested in a business which was an IT support business. Yeah, but it was a membership-based business. And it was a membership-based business for people that worked in IT support. Yeah, so kind of part trade union, part professional thing. And I invested in the business as a startup. And one of the things they did was big seminars. And the very first seminar they did was in Bristol. So, of course, I went along because I'd invested in the business. Mm. And they had 400 IT managers at this conference. About 2/3 of the way through the morning, Howard, who's the chap that ran the business, came up to me and said, can I put you on as a speaker in an hour? Now, I'd never spoken in public in my life. I went, you're joking. And he went, yeah, the next speaker's still on his way in from the airport. Okay. What's he talking about? He said, RACF. Like, what the hell's RACF? You know, it's an IBM security package. Oh, I don't know anything about RACF. I worked in IT. I don't know anything about RACF. And he went, well, wing it. Oh, really? So I thought, I can't talk about something I don't know about. I'll last 3 minutes maximum. So what do I know about? Well, I spent a long time as a senior manager in IT, yeah? And I know that most, and my audience are all IT managers. I know what their biggest problem is. Their biggest problem is they have to manage nerds, who are not people. So I walk out on the stage and I go, hands up, who has trouble managing their people, da, 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 da. And we basically started a chat, okay? And we're chatting away and chatting away and chatting away, and it's all going well, and I'm going to tell a story here and there and there. And eventually I see Howard at the side of the stage going, great, bloke's turned up. So right, well, thank you for listening to my waffle. But now, Doctor, whatever his name was, and Howard's going, no. I don't know what's going on. Howard, come and tell us what's going on. So he came on and introduced a completely different speaker. I get off and I went, what happened to the last speaker? He went, yeah, I didn't tell you. He was actually still stuck at Frankfurt Airport.
Not even close.
Yeah, he isn't coming. And you've been speaking for 3 hours. What? Really? So anyway, the rest of the thing went off okay. And I just said to him, if you ever do that to me again, I'll kill you. And he went, well, it was your money. yeah, so you still do it. Bloke walked up to me and he said, I really enjoyed that. Do you do that for a living? I went, yeah. He said, would you come and do it for me? I went, yeah. Sorry to be rude, who are you? He said, my name's Eddie Nixon. I'm the managing director of IBM UK. Would you come and speak to all my staff? And I went, yeah, sure. And he said, what do you charge? The usual.
Yeah.
And he went, if I paid you £1,000 for an hour, would that be okay? This was 1981, yeah. 82.
Well, I've got it.
I went, yeah, I could probably do that. it just shows you. And basically, I didn't have anything prepared.
No.
And it was just talking about stuff I knew, but also talking to the audience. So not just me telling them stuff, them telling me as well, you know, and you start this huge... So it was like one giant networking meeting, really.
Yeah.
And I made a living at that for 15 years.
But it's being engaging, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want to engage with that audience to get the reaction, to move the conversation on, really.
Yeah, but it's just talking about what you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to write a speech. I've never written a speech in my life. Huh. Yeah, you just talk about what you know. But I can't talk about Rakef because I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Cool. No, but you know, I mean, I think that's what we try to do with the questions that are on the tables in Synergy. Yeah, they're not all business related.
Yeah,
you know, you want to find out more about the person. You want the two-way conversation.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes I think that the best question we ever put out there was, "What was your first car?"
Yeah,
you know, things like, "What was your first car? Where are you going on your holidays this year?"
Yeah,
you know, because someone will say, you know, I had a Mini. Mm. Or, you know, I'm going to wherever, and someone goes, I have one of them. I've been there. You need to go to this. And the conversation then, and the engagement between the two people.
Yeah.
Now, it is true, people buy from people they like.
Absolutely.
And they trust.
Yeah.
And if you can find those common ground, you suddenly open up a whole new opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you're absolutely right. Those kind of questions, those icebreaker type questions, always work. Yeah, because someone's always got a story about something. Yeah. And even if they haven't, they'll change it. If you go, what was your first car? I never owned a car, but I owned a motorbike or a moped or a Honda 50 or whatever.
You know, but then there's also the question that is the same question every month on every table, which is about your business. So if you're a new business and you want to know, if you're a new business, people on that table really do want to know about your business. Certainly first time around, you want to find out, you know, who is this person, exactly what it is that they do.
Yeah.
And they're the questions that when they answer, gives everybody an insight into, you know, because some people you can read their name and the name of their company, gives you no clue.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, we were Grammar and Company Limited for the best part of 60 years, and I had a real battle, risk-averse battle with my dad to make this, let me call it Grammar Printers, just so when those people spoke to you, you had a rough idea what the company did.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's what you want. Those first people, you want to know what it is they do.
Yeah.
So there's always a question there that will relate simply to a business to be able to tell the person what is it they do.
And it's absolutely true, isn't it? In a non-business setting, whenever we meet someone new in a pub or a sports meeting or anything, the first question we always ask is, what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do? It's because it kind of sets the parameters of what we want to talk about. Yeah. It's also a bit of a citer because you don't want to say, you know, launch into something about, oh, the trouble with printers are.
Yeah.
and you're sitting there going, you idiot. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll get him in a minute.
Yeah. Cool. Chris, thank you for that.
No, it's fine.
We're going to hear a couple of messages from our sponsors and then we're going to talk to Sam. Yeah.
Tired of business networking that feels like hard work? It shouldn't be a chore. It should be a chance to grow. Join the Synergy business community and connect with like-minded professionals right in your area. We provide the opportunities to boost your brand's visibility and growth without the stress. Stop wishing for better contacts. Start building them. Visit synergynetworkingevents.co.uk today or call us at 077-699-43756.
Tired of IT headaches? Slow computers, security worries, lost files?
Sound familiar? We've got your back. As Kent's leading IT support partner, we keep your business running smoothly, securely, and stress-free. Call 0179-534-2362 now and get your IT sorted.
Right, we're going to talk to Sam Frizzard, of Rookie CEO, first. We've got a lot to talk to you about today, Sam, but we'll go with that first. So welcome to the show, Sam. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, and hello, everyone listening. I'm happy to be here. Let's talk about Rookie CEO, which I'm really excited about.
Right.
Quick intro on Rookie CEO. Have you heard of Rookie CEO?
I have heard of you marginally. Yeah, so I came across the name because Linda told me you were coming, and okay, I did a quick bit of checking, but I'd want to know more.
Well, strap in, Paul, because you're going to.
So
the Rookie CEO, we started almost 2 years ago now, and the idea behind it was exactly kind of what Chris was saying earlier, was we wanted to solve a problem when it comes to networking. But we didn't want it to be networking, because networking has this reputation of, like, you have a goal and the goal is to hand out business cards and make business. And that's not one thing we wanted to achieve. What we wanted to achieve was connections. That was the main problem. And then we saw an opportunity here. We saw that at normal networking events, you're not really learning anything as such. You are there to create connections. You're there to try and make business. So we thought, why don't we just merge the two? Why don't we have, instead of people doing a 10-minute presentation like they would normally in, like, these weekly events, instead of a 10-minute presentation about the business, why not a 10-minute presentation about something people can actually take away with them?
Right.
So we make it very clear with our speakers that they're not there to sell anything. They're actually there to educate. They're there to provide insight. And what's even funnier behind that is they actually walk away with more leads than they do if they were to do a 10-minute presentation, because they're being authentic.
Yeah.
They're sharing their story in a way that isn't trying to sell. They're sharing their story to educate, because with that, they then earn trust.
Mm.
So we have two or three speakers every single month. It's the last Monday of every month at Edenwood Place just north of Maidstone. Aylesford, I think. I don't know. Somewhere in Kent.
Yeah, it's
still
Aylesford. Yeah.
And it's an evening event. Since we started it, we've just had so much demand for trying to create more events, working around people that prefer daytime events, just like yourself, I guess. Yeah. The reason why Synergies are growing. The main difference, really, with Rookie CEO is it's a complete non-for-profit. We do not make money from the Rookie CEO whatsoever. In fact, our tickets are £5, and 100% of that goes towards Heart of Kent Hospice. And the reason why we can do that is because we have some amazing sponsors. We have Saxon HR currently, we have ITMS, we have Kent Foundation and the Edenwood Wealth Management, all basically funding not only for the venue, but when you turn up, you have drinks on tap, you have food. So it's really is focused towards businesses that are starting up and really want to grow.
Is there an element of what used to be called masterminding?
Not at all. Mm. I think it's more, I guess people are masterminding, you know, during the sort of break, it's not really breakout sessions, but more the organic networking before and after the speaking. Not really at all. People are there because they want to learn. I think it was a really smart move calling it the Rookie CEO, which is something that Heather did, because we're actually attracting people that don't have an ego.
Right.
And that's what I love about it. Not a single person turns up going, I'm the best one in this room, or this is too good, like, I'm too good to be here. People are there to go, actually, even if we are billionaires, we still have opportunities to grow.
Yeah.
We can still learn. I love every single person that walks into that room, because it attracts the right people.
So give us some indications of the kind of people that you have, or the kind of things that they talk about, and the kind of speakers you have.
So we try and tackle two main points, which is mindset and business insight. So we try and get either a business coach or someone who's willing to share more about growing a business. And then we have somebody else that is tackling the real mental health behind having a business.
Right.
The real mental challenges, working in the evenings, trying to create that work-life balance, trying to challenge what's it called? Oh, God, the word's completely lost me now. Imposter syndrome, that's the one. The phrase of the year so far. Yeah. When you're starting a business, it's really hard not to compare yourself to other businesses that you're wanting to be, So instead of looking up to them, you end up basically almost competing. And what I love about Rookie is that we try and promote collaboration as much as we possibly can, because that's the best way people can grow.
I think one of the things you've hit on the head there, though, Sam, is and I've seen this all the way through my business career, and I know entirely what you mean about imposter syndrome. Yeah, when you talk to most people, they don't go, oh, life's rubbish, it's crap, it's, my business is a royal struggle. You know, most people go, yeah, no, I spotted a gap in the market and I filled it, and we're really going like a herd of bison or something. And you know they're not, yeah, because we all struggle. A business is hard.
Yeah. And the Rookie CEO attracts the first person you were just literally impersonating. Everyone in that room is willing to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because of literally the name, Rookie CEO. We all walk in that room knowing we're not experts.
Absolutely. And the thing about that is it's a massive mental release as well, because you suddenly realise it isn't just you. Yeah, everybody suffers from these things.
Yeah,
yeah? Everybody has these growing pains. Everybody has these overheads and administrations, you know, and Christ, I've got to do the VAT. I hate doing the VAT or whatever. Yeah, everybody has these things that they struggle with. And knowing that everybody else has things they struggle with too is a big relief to a large extent, yeah, because you don't feel isolated. You don't feel, well, it's just me, I'm useless at this.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love what you're doing. What inspired you to start it, Sam?
So it's myself and Heather Williams. Heather Williams was the one that really kind of got the ball rolling, which was October 2 years ago. We had the first one. And we just, she kind of saw, she's been facing the challenges behind BNI and the likes of the larger networking groups, starting out being basically in a room full of quite dominant men, and then also trying to grow your business.
Right.
It's challenging. No matter how old you are, no matter what gender you are, it's, you just said it yourself, it's almost quite intimidating how you are trying to grow your business, but also everyone, you kind of, it's hard to compete with people that are talking about buying estates, and it's just like, I can't compete with that. I'm just trying to create a website for someone, for a cafe.
Yeah.
So we were like, right, how can we now, because we got to a point in our business where we fought through that, we got to the other end, and we were quite successful in our businesses. We had an opportunity to go, right, can we just create something special, because we're kind of we're not sick of the normal networking event, but we I guess you just said it yourself, we saw a gap in the market, as it were, but we know, to be completely honest with you, we were put off by two things. One, being chased constantly to attend the next event. It's just a sales thing. Like, why are you contacting me at 9 o'clock at night if I'm coming to tomorrow? Like, I'll come tomorrow if I want to come tomorrow. Leave me alone. We will never do that. One reason being, we don't profit from the event. Yes, the money goes to the Heart of Kent Hospice, and in most situations we sell out, so we're not too worried about that. We're not going to chase you at 9 o'clock at night. And second of all, it's, we're not going to force anyone to do a 60-second pitch.
Right.
Because a lot of the time when you turn up to a networking event, sometimes, like, you're not in the mood. Like right now, it is boiling hot in this room.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not really in a great mood to introduce who I am, but I'm happily talk about anything apart from trying to sell my business.
No, absolutely. I think you're absolutely right. And there's a massive need for the psychological aspects of being in business, for want of a better term. Chris, you were talking earlier about it. You were singing the praises.
Sing the praises. I mean, there's a lot of collaboration goes on between us and Rookie. But, yeah, people have said to me, you know, what is a Rookie? Can you put Rookie into one word? And I say, no. I've always said, if you think about Rookie, it's caring, all-inclusive, supportive and rewarding.
Right.
They're the four things. When you walk into Rookie, when you walk into Edinburgh, yeah, you get you literally get a big hug on the way in. Don't we?
Me?
Is this a personal service?
Chris pays extra for that.
Yeah, you get a big hug on the way in and a big hug on the way out. But while you're there, there is this massive hug between everybody because everyone is so supportive.
Right.
And there's two stories that I frequently tell about Rookie. One was a speaker that got up and explained how in the early part of her business life, she was, to all intents and purposes, she was bullied. She was kind of put in a room on her own because that would be the best thing to be done. And Laura had to hold me down from getting up in the middle of this person's presentation, going up and giving her a huge hug, because right. I was so upset that someone would have done that. I, you know, it was a long time ago. I'm still so upset that could happen.
Yeah.
You know, it was just deeply unfair to that person.
Yeah.
And the other one, Tracy did her first ever presentation, didn't she? Tracy Mitch did her first ever 10-minute speaking slot. And I've never been in a room and heard such a huge cheer at the beginning and the end. Because every single person in that room wanted Tracy to succeed,
right?
And it was an amazing, yeah. It was an amazing time.
I think what makes that's exactly what makes a great networking event is that actually the people in the room. As I said earlier, like somehow we're able to attract the right people,
right.
to create an amazing vibe.
And that doesn't surprise me though, Sam, because it is different. It is a different thing that you're offering, and it's something that people don't normally talk about. No. Yeah, most people when they're doing networking or selling, it's all about, you know, pushing it off the top, isn't it? You know, we're really good, we really do this, we really do that. It's not about, this is my journey, these are the things I struggle with, these are the things that I cracked early, these are how I found how to deal with X, Y, or Z, which is really, really useful stuff.
Yeah. And we're not promising anything.
No.
That's the best thing.
Yeah.
Like both Heather and I started out as social media managers, and that's what organic marketing is. We can't promise any of our clients that they're going to make money.
Yeah.
But what we can do is we can basically improve their visibility by being authentic. And that is literally what the Rookie CEO is. We're just a room of authentic people that want to be visible.
Yeah. Okay.
But remarkably, that becomes incredibly unique of you know, a networking or a session like that compared with any of the others. Yeah, Rookie is unique. I took Laura, you know, for the first time, and she was like, "You won't leave me, will you?" I said, "You'll be fine. No, you won't leave me." "No, all right." You know, a month later, we go back. We walk in. I go to the bar to get a drink. I turn around. Laura's gone. She's disappeared. I've talked
she's
to her.
That one. Yeah, she's chatting to me at the bar.
I think it was Beth. She just disappeared, you know, and that's what it is. You're so welcome. You know, people are so supportive of each other. Right. It's just fantastic.
Right. Can I just quickly have a shout out to our podcast as well?
Yeah, of course.
I apologise.
No, you go for it. Yeah, yeah.
Basically, every Monday we have a new podcast, and that is again funded by a sponsor, ITMS. I think they sponsor you guys.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And yeah, every Monday it's a 20-minute episode, and it's based on something that we all face during our business journey. And it's only it's 20 minutes long every single Monday on Spotify, Apple Music, and YouTube. We have special guests that are experts in their field, and they're willing to share priceless information completely for free.
Cool. And what's the podcast called?
The Rookie CEO.
How did you think of that?
I know. Tell me about it.
No, I love it. So every Monday.
Every Monday, yeah.
Fantastic, yeah. I really love stuff like that. And that to me, that's what podcasts are really all about, is that kind of stuff. A nice hit, 20 minutes is a good time. Good time frame. You can digest that and digest some good stuff. What kind of speakers do you have on that? What kind of guests do you have?
Normally it's the speakers that have spoken at our events.
Right,
which is great. So obviously they can only get 10 to 15 minutes to talk at our event.
Yeah.
But we get quite a lot of demand for more information. So we do two things. We either get them on the podcast or we hold a workshop. So we have a whole day workshop, which is about 5 to 6 hours.
Wow.
And they basically just spill out every single thing that they know, and we do workshops together.
Wow.
So and again, that's not a profitable thing. We are literally building this to support new and small and medium-sized businesses.
That's fantastic. And how do you find these speakers? I mean, is it something you struggle with to find really good speakers?
I won't lie to you. Heather is – that's her responsibility.
Is it?
Completely honest with you. I think for the first time ever, we did put a post out a week ago where we were asking for speakers – because normally they come to us.
Right.
I'm not sure if it's the heat or what, but I think people are scared of us recently.
Mm-hmm.
But we give people opportunities to talk for the first time. Like if they run Heather's test, if they pass her test, I don't know what her test is, then yeah, they're welcome to speak.
Okay. Do you ever go out to the market looking for a specific topic?
It's one of two things. It's business insights or it's mindset.
Right.
It's not trying to sell your business. That's right. What we're making clear.
Yeah. Okay. But you don't go, we really need to search the world for someone that can talk about X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah. So we actually are looking for somebody who's an expert in AI. So I can just do a quick 10 minutes on on helping the room understand what AI is and how it can help their business.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that's a really hot topic at the moment.
Yeah.
People are scared of losing their jobs over it. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, there's a big Kent AI conference either just happened or just about to happen.
I've got a feeling someone told me it was earlier today.
Yeah, I've got a feeling it was today. Yeah. Kent, at the university, wasn't it, Canterbury? Yeah. No, absolutely. That's something that's on everybody's mind at the moment, isn't it? How we deal with AI and what the implications are going to be. And, of course, we're at that stage with that kind of stuff that we just don't know. We just don't know where it's going to go.
People are scared of sharing specific information because they're not really sure where it's going.
Yeah.
Whereas AI has proven to help mental health as well. There's AI apps out there that you can speak to, the people that don't have friends, people that are lonely, that it can assess whether you're at risk. And it can even call people if it needs to.
Yeah.
So AI is an amazing thing.
I was telling Chris earlier, I didn't sleep at all last night, and not 1 hour of sleep. We have two kittens, and I live in a very big, tall house with 3 floors. And my stepdaughter's bedroom is on the 3rd floor. And one of the kittens jumped out of the window on the 3rd floor and got stuck on the roof, on the ridge line, and wouldn't come down. And we were out there all night trying to get this kitten to come down. It was unbelievable. So at some point, I get on my phone and I go to ChatGPT and I go, "How'd you get a kitten off the roof?" And it actually gave me about 20 different things to do. But the thing about it was, it said, you live in Tenterson in Kent. Here are 3 phone numbers of people that might be able to help you. And it gave us the local RSPCA. It gave us a local vet. And it gave us a tree surgeon company that would be willing to come out and stick their ladder up the side of the house to get the cat back. So, and it's going, "Would you like me to call them for you?" And you're going, "Wow." Yeah.
That's the future of marketing. I'll talk about that later when I'm talking about fuzzy logic. But AI is going to play a big part in everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's I already, my first port of call in almost anything is to ask ChatGPT what it thinks. Because you get some really interesting stuff. I mean, it can also be wrong sometimes.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
It's just like we all can be wrong. I think it's probably the most human thing about it is that it can be wrong.
Yeah. And what makes me laugh is when you tell it's wrong and it goes, "Yeah, my bad."
I wish my wife did that. Anyway, carry on.
Cool. So do you have plans for where you're going to go with Rookie CEO?
Heather and I do try and meet at least once a month. We did share an office for about a year and a half, but we've kind of just outgrown it. So I have to now book meetings with her, which is quite, I'm still getting used to. But then we'll discuss the future of the Rookie CEO like we did, actually, funnily enough, yesterday. What I love about it is that it's not a business. Even though it's a limited company, we were discussing whether we should really try and not upgrade it, but do we change it to a CIC to make it very clear that it is a non-for-profit?
Yeah.
So I've got a meeting with my accountant tomorrow about that, but nothing needs to change. I think that's one thing that we all put so much pressure on ourselves to, we need to be the next best thing. What can we improve? What can we do? With the Rookie CEO, I think we want to promote the standard of, look, it's okay to just be happy and be successful. Yeah. Not try and compete with everyone around you.
Yeah. Remind me again where you hold the meetings, is it?
So it's at Edenwood Place. The next event is actually next Monday. So I believe that's the 29th. I don't know.
It is, yeah.
It's 6 o'clock in the evening. Edenwood Place is on Bluebell Hill. I think everyone's heard of that, I believe, in Kent.
Yeah.
I still feel like I'm new to Kent, but it's somewhere on that road.
It's the old Kit's Cotton restaurant.
There we go. We're going to get a lot of oldies coming on.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. I've been around a long time.
You walk in, you see my beautiful face, and you can help yourself to a drink and some food, and then we sit down half an hour later. And it's just an amazing vibe. I think we can all agree in this room.
Absolutely.
It's an amazing vibe.
Yeah, I'm already deciding that I'm going to come. Mm-hmm. I can't do next Monday. When's the one after? Is it monthly?
It's the last Monday of every month.
Okay.
There's not one in August.
Right.
Because people deserve a break.
Yeah.
Well, by people, I mean me.
They're on holiday and everything.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to come to one of those because it sounds absolutely fantastic. And I want to really experience that.
Nice. Yeah. No, good to see you there.
Do you have a website or anything like that where people can find out? Give us a shout out for that so that people can have a look at it.
I'm not sure if people say www. Anymore. I don't think that's a thing.
I'll go
but
for it.
It's therookieceo.co.uk. As simple as that. Click on the events page. You'll see the next events coming up. You'll also see our podcast and our upcoming workshops, which are still to be confirmed, but there will be a workshop in September.
Fantastic. Yeah. It's funny you should say that about WWW as well. I used to work with someone on a radio show who insisted on going wibbly wobbly way.
Really, sir, I don't think that's what it stands for. Yeah.
Stop doing that. Cool. Michael, is that something? Have you been to Rookie's Heel?
I have, and I absolutely love it. It's like I say, I'm 49 this year, but I'll be rookie. It's like every day's a school day. You're there to learn. I mean, when I started the business, I'd never done a business. I was PAYE. I was a heavy goods driver. So going somewhere where you're comfortable, you fit in, and you're not the only one in that position makes a big difference. You go to some networking events and they've been in business for years, they know the craft. So when you're new, you're like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
But it's like you can go in there, shake hands, you know everybody, and you do share personal stories as well. People get to know you, trust you, and the collaborations that have come out of it have worked for a lot of people, so it's really good.
Yeah. Maybe that's something I can ask both of you, put you on the spot a bit, Chris and Michael, because you've both been. Has there been a standout thing for you, something that you heard that thought, blimey?
Me.
Yeah. I'm joking. <The fast. laughs> He's a big lad, let me tell you. Yeah.
It's definitely Faz. No, the obvious answer is Beth Turner, the speaker. She does motivational speaking, took you to do the communications. And when she speaks, everybody listens.
Yeah.
You could hear the pin drop.
Right.
Nobody wants to miss a word.
Right.
And it's really, really inspirational.
Yeah, I do know Bev, but for the listeners' point of view, what's the kind of topics she's talking about?
Go on, Sam.
Well, Beth, actually, I met during Rookie CEO, and she's now my coach. She's a communication coach.
Yeah.
She helped me with speaking on stage. She helped me with speaking on the podcast. And funnily enough, and this is not a service she normally offers, and it sounds really weird, but she's now actually my coach, my business coach, my mental health coach. She is my fairy godmother. She's the nicest person I've ever met. And every month she's like, are you sure you still need me? I'm like, do not go anywhere. You're not leaving me now.
The world will fall apart. Yes.
I need you more than ever, Beth. And Michael, anything you've particularly taken away from it? And I get what you said about, you know, being new to business, having moved from being a long-distance lorry driver, which is a real leap, isn't it, into running your own
absolutely,
business?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love it when Heather and Faz are up on stage with the mics, and it's like the Laurel and Hardy, because you're just waiting for Heather to give him a slap around the back of the head. He's not behaving. And it's that banter and humour, but it's still the professionalism as well, which I love about it. So, yeah.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Cool. Good. Thank you for that. It's really interesting. I say, I'm going to come along to one because I really want to do this. And I just like looking for something different. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm backing out of business now. I'm selling my businesses. I'm trying to retire. But I'm also a sucker for learning stuff and seeing how people do different things.
I think it's what makes us good business owners is that we're curious.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't have any curiosity about you, it's hard to grow.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Chris and I were talking about this earlier about innovation and stuff like that. It's also scary. Yeah. Doing something different is scary. Especially if it involves money, you know, putting some money into it, you know, like having to buy some equipment or just fund something. Even, you know, Rookie CEO, if it wasn't for your sponsors, even though it's a not-for-profit social enterprise, you still need money.
Well, funnily enough, we funded the first 6 months. We were paying £450 a month just to fund it.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping to get that back at some point.
But it is good. I mean, you touched on the Heart of Kent bit. But once we get towards the end of the meeting, the all-inclusive bit of passing the mic round so everyone can talk about events that are coming up,
right.
So we all get to collaborate, we all get to promote, if you want a better word.
And where's this?
At Rookie.
This is what I love about it.
We do pass the mic round.
Right.
And we just go around and everyone can speak. And there is a bit of, there's a bit of hilarity. Jenny will get up and talk about her networking group, which is women only. And the minute she mentions women only, there's pantomime booing from the boys.
Yeah,
you know, and so that all goes round. But then David, Jeff, from the Heart of Kent will get up and come up. He'll tell us how much money they've taken today, how much money is made for the Heart of Kent, how much that is as a running total, and what that equates to in the number of hours to employ a nurse.
Mm.
And everyone in the room, well, certainly for me, I think everyone else feels the same. You think, hey, I've done my bit. Yeah. You know, it's a little bit, but it's a feel-good factor. It's a massive feel-good factor.
£5.
Yeah, it's a massive feel-good factor.
We are raising around £300 every month
right.
just through Rookie CEO.
And that's brilliant. You know, I'm a trustee of Kenwood Trust, which is a residential home for people with addictions. As you can imagine, it's an incredibly expensive thing to run. And we have networking groups with BNI, actually, BNI Pioneer Group, yeah, that do lots of fundraising for us. Mm. Without those networking groups, life would be much harder. So all power to you. It doesn't matter how much you raise. No. It's regular bits of income make a big difference to everyone. And it's great that you do that. And it's great that you support local charities because they need it. Cool. Just looking at the time and where we are, we're going to have a little break, a little comfort break, because it's really sweaty and hot and horrible in here, isn't it? And I'm sure we could all do with a comfort break and a little reset of our coffee cups or whatever. We're gonna have a little bit of music and then we'll be back.
Welcome to the Business Network Show with experienced networkers and business owners, Jill Russell and Linda Cloak.
Welcome back to the Networking Show with me, Paul Andrews, standing in for Linda Cloak this week, and my co-host, Chris Endersby. And our guests this week, Sam Fuzzard and Michael Marshall. We've been talking to both in the first part of the show, and we got a lot more to cover. We're really looking forward to it. So let's move on and talk to Michael Marshall, drone operator.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Michael. Welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. First off, tell us a little bit about Michael.
So a bit of back history. I actually wear three hats. I'm ex-Army Reserve, 22 years.
Right.
So I was an Army chef, and I still do a bit of chefing every now and then.
Okay, cool.
When I get called in to help do events. HGV driver. Right. I spent 22 years driving HGVs all over the UK. And the amount of phone calls I've had this morning said, Mick, can you come drive for us? Because we need lorry drivers because the heat is rising and everybody wants salad. So
you still do a bit of driving?
Yes, I do a bit of agency driving, just to keep the bank balance up and keep my toes dipped in.
Yeah.
And then we run Marshall's Drone Services, which we started 3 years ago.
Okay.
So we've retired from the Army Reserve in 2022.
Okay.
And I needed something to fill those weekends because I thought I'm not going to be doing anything. Plus HGV driving, I thought I've been doing it for so long, I need a break, I need a change. Because trust me, driving into London twice a day, it wears you down a bit.
Yeah.
And stress levels and everything else.
Absolutely, especially these days with the amount of traffic on the road and stupid speed limits everywhere, 20 mile an hour limits everywhere.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, as soon as you're driving to London, you're 20 mile an hour all the way into central London, and you've got time limits, criteria, and you're carrying things like cement powder, you're on a time limit because the builders need it. And instead of doing 20 mile an hour, all then you've got a cyclist in front of you or someone on their e-bike or scooter.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on that. I got a ticket for entering one of those hash yellow boxes without a clear exit. But it was massive. I don't know if you noticed, the one in Lewisham. Yeah. And it's massive. If you waited for it to be empty, you'd still be there next Christmas. Yeah. But I got halfway across it and a bus pulled in front of me from a bus stop. So I had to stop. Anyway, I get a ticket.
Yeah.
I paid a ticket. You know, and you get this, if you pay it now, it's 60 quid. If you don't, it's 120 quid. So I paid the 60 quid. I then get an email from them saying, you've paid this too quickly. Can you, we'll refund the money and can you pay it again? What?
Ridiculous.
What? And I think it was something to do with the fact I've got a lease car. So I think what had happened is the lease company had paid it and tried to bill me. Anyway, it all got very complicated. Anyway, I sorted it all out. Then I got a court order for non-payment. So I rang them up and I said, but you told me not to do it. Yeah, I know. So why have you issued me a court order? Well, you didn't pay it. Well, you told me not to.
That's the world we live in, unfortunately.
Crazy. No, anyway. So on your army experience, you say you're a chef, yeah?
Yes, so I was an army chef. I was also an instructor, and I beg my pardon, this is very long worded, a chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear defence instructor.
That's what I call breakfast.
I should have printed his business card.
So we basically teach the soldiers and all those around the how to protect yourself with biological warfare, defence, nuclear.
Wow.
And so I was an instructor. So we've done a lot of time. Everybody heard the phrase in the army, they know it well, it's death by PowerPoint. So obviously during the COVID, we was all on lockdown and having to do, obviously introduced to Zoom and Teams and trying to do teaching death by PowerPoint via Zoom to 200 people in the regiments for 8 hours on a Saturday when, you know, 95% of people didn't want to be there. They'd rather be watching the football, but they had to be there to get paid. And your teaching subject was very geeky for me, but they didn't want to be there doing it. So it's very difficult. And you have to read it word for word because it's a syllabus. You can't just make it up and go, well, if you do this, that might happen.
Yeah.
So we've done that. I was doing social media, hence what got me into my drone side of things. So I go out on the weekends, do media recruitment, take photos and promote the regiment to those to come in and hopefully join the regiment as Army Reservist.
So this was recruiting for Army Reservists?
Yes, it was, yes. Okay. It took me around the world. I've seen Denmark, France, Germany, Belgium. Done 2 weeks in California with the American forces. Fantastic. I mean, it was funny because I turned up on the first night. And it was, we do apologise, Corporal Marshall, the heater's not working. I said, pardon? He goes, yeah, we can't get the heating working. We're in a tent, it's 22 degrees in San Jose. It's like, in the end, you've got, they actually put a heater in, and they would have lied, a fan was this big, and it was actually burning. I had to have a tent with no heating, because it's like, you're mad.
Yeah.
But it's experience.
I'm smiling because all day this morning I was looking on, primarily on Twitter, on X. There was a massive argument of Americans versus Europeans, when Americans laughing at Europeans because none of us have air conditioning. And we're all going, but it's only warm 2 days a year. Yeah. We are not going to buy a £500 air conditioning unit for 2 days a year. And they're going, well, you're all wusses. You should have air conditioning. Well, we haven't.
Finished reserves in 22. I'd met my partner Hayley back then, and we said our son was due. So, in a space of a 3 month period, we moved house, bought a house, moved in. Our son was born a month later.
Wow.
Then, a month after that, we started Marshall's Drone Services.
You don't believe in hanging around, do you? You're just going to go for it.
Absolutely. You have to sometimes, you know, when you got it good.
Yeah.
You got to enjoy life. And obviously, going from working hours and hours and not having a family life, that was the biggest thing we changed. So I got more quality time at home with my son and my partner. Because I do have two sons. I've got a 19-year-old called Anthony, and I've got Quinn, who's just gone three.
Right, OK.
So it's having that balance of family life and running a business.
Yeah. It's interesting having kids nicely spread out as well, isn't it?
Yes.
I've got a 40-year-old, a 30-year-old and a 14-year-old.
Mm. Good babysitters.
Mm. Exactly. No, my kids, the 14-year-olds at home, but all the others live abroad. Mm. Funnily enough, my youngest has just bought a hotel in Jericho in Colombia. Nice. And he's bought a hotel and restaurant so that he can do a bit of cooking, because he likes a bit of cooking. Okay, so you've done a lot of different things, especially your time in the army.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm a bit gobsmacked how you go from, you know, toxic warfare to cooking. I'm a bit dubious about that.
But the good thing about it was the chefs would have a complaints book. Mine was always empty. Because I either get you with the food or you get with the CS guests. Which one do you want? I've never complained.
Okay. You've done all these jobs and you've been, how long have you been driving as well?
So I've been driving, I still drive, is it 24 years now.
Right, okay. So it's something you've done for a long time as well. And I kind of probably know what the answer to this is, but I want to ask you anyway. At what point did you go, do you know what, we need to almost, you know, bugger this for a game of soldiers, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. At what point did you decide, do you know what, I want to run my own business?
I think it was becoming ill. Unfortunately, I had to levy reserves. Doctors had said, look, you've been doing it too long. I've got long-term injury. I said, you can carry on, but you can end up in a point where you're crippled and you can't do anything. So in this world, let's make the decision. I've enjoyed 22 years. I've loved it. I got to where I wanted. Let's go out on a hire rather than getting signed off by the doctor. Say, no, you're no good to us now. Mm. And the scary thing was we had people coming in and joining that when I joined, they wasn't even born. So me going out on a 4 or 5 mile tab with backpack on, it's like, yeah, those days are done now. And then obviously lorry driving, is getting a lot of stress, getting ill. And my partner said, you need to make a change. I said, what, can I start a business? Can I do something working from home and have that better quality of life? And hence Marshall's Drone Services was born. And we've been going just over 3 years now.
For how long?
3 years.
That's brilliant. Now, so I want to explore this with you. So you decide that you want to run your own business. Now, which came first? Did you decide you wanted to do drone work, or did you just go, I want a business, what should I do?
I think it was drones. I was already flying drones. I started with a little £40 thing from Amazon. First time it went up, disappeared, and an old lady brought it back to me an hour later. Said, well, this is yours, because you're the only one standing in the middle of a playing ground with a controller in your hand. Yeah. Second time, never came back. I thought, let's invest.
I had a garden trampoline that did that in high winds.
So we've done that and started buying decent equipment and going out and meeting people so we can do this for you. Started like roof surveys, chimneys, inspections, and just practicing really.
Yeah.
And getting content we can put on social media and see what we can do. And then from there it's developed. Hence we started doing the networking and building up a clientele.
Yeah.
Game business.
Yeah, but drone flying has also moved on quite a lot over the years, not just in technology terms, but in rules and regulations and all kinds of things. You know, when it first, as you said, we always, in the early days, everybody piled onto Amazon and bought a 15 quid drone and started dive bombing people and what have you. It's not as simple as that any longer, is it?
No. So we are CAA registered. So we have an operational authorization, which allows us to do a lot more than somebody who's just gone onto Amazon and bought a drone, done the online test, flyer's ID. We can fly a lot closer. We have, everything is done by risk assessments. So we may get a client say, well, we want this done tomorrow. It's an hour's work. No, it's not. We have to do a full set of risk assessments, RAMs, check the area safe to fly, because obviously there's a lot of prisons. There's locations where we can't fly without having certain permissions. So you've got what we call no-fly zones, not flight restriction zones, or military zones, especially this side of the country, around Cambridgeshire, if, for example, there's a lot of military aircraft.
Yeah.
So we have to abide by all the rules. So when we say to our clients, yes, it might be an hour on site, but it's what we do at home. Once we explain it, so we will not do any flight, because we are CAA registered, we can get audited at any time. So we're not only protecting ourselves, we're also protecting the reputation of the client as well. Mm. If something was to go wrong, which, touch wood, it has never gone wrong, but you've got a layer of protection there to protect you and your client as well.
Absolutely. It's something that a few people have said to me in the past now, but I want your input on this, is I know people that have been sunbathing in their back garden, and a drone overflies it, and I go, you can't do that. I mean, are there rules on that, on filming individuals in their own property that so, haven't asked
yeah.
you?
Yeah, so if there was someone with a drone and then deliberately hovering over someone who's let somebody in their back garden, then that I'll consider as harassment, and then I would call the police. But if it's actually someone flying over and they're just going past.
They've just gone.
Yeah, then there's, like I say, there's no right to privacy in public. There's always a lot of arguments. I think you do see online YouTubers, the so-called auditors, they know the laws inside and out. So they'll deliberately stand outside the business gates until there's an interaction with the security or the management team. And what a lot of the companies are being told by the HR departments is, do not interact with these people. They are there to get hits on their YouTube. It's how they make their money. But if you do interact, turn your phone on and play some music. The moment you play music, it's copyrighted.
Yeah.
You cannot play it on YouTube or any other social media platform. That way you get around it and walk away. You protect yourself. Because all these people love it is an argument. Mm. And that's what they're biting to get a reaction. A lot of companies need to learn this. By doing that, there's no recourse. Your company isn't going to get in the newspapers or the social media. There's a big example, Wren's, a few months back, where the two people turned up at Wren's workplace and there's a interaction with the security guards, and it didn't go down too well. It got a bit of a fisticuffs. Of course, the moment it's done, it's recorded, it's live, it's on social media, that company's reputation gets damaged because of two individuals. They're there on purpose to cause an issue. Hence why we won't have any interaction with those. So we're here to educate. So normally we're out on the ground, we're flying around, and people see what we're doing. We are wearing bright orange high-vis, our vehicle's logoed up, we have signage out, we have cones out. But we still get people coming up and say, I'm going to shoot your drone down. Well, why? I'm going to smash your drone up. You're filming me. We're on here to do it. Once you explain me there, that we've made ourselves as clear as possible. We're here. We are doing a task. It's there to benefit you or the client next door. Unfortunately,
do you ever tell them, you could try, but my drone shoot back?
Yeah, I keep getting asked, are you Russian, quite a few times, especially around London for some reason.
So absolutely, and so that change has happened over the last decade or so in terms of becoming much more controlled and managed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And therefore, coming to a professional to get drone work done is even more imperative now than it would have been in the past. I want to dwell a little bit now, Michael, on the types of technology that you're using and you know, how that's come along and the different things you can do. And I suppose also ask the kind of stupid questions that stupid people ask, you know, are we into the era of delivery drones yet? You know, Amazon talks a lot about having both robot and delivery drones for doing their deliveries. Is that happening? Is it something that's likely to happen?
It already is happening. So I was actually speaking to an NHS consultant 3 weeks ago. They're actually using drones in London to transfer blood and medicines and reports across London by drone.
Right.
It's much quicker, get through all the traffic. They have certain landing zones. And I know they're doing trials down in Crawley, or have been doing trials in Crawley, for DFIBs, which they can attach to a drone, fly them to the location and drop them down by harness, or land the drone in that garden directly with a DFIB to a medical team.
Right.
Amazon are doing it. They've had lots of incidents, unfortunately, out in America and Texas. Unfortunately, someone decides to put a crane up. The drone's following that flight path, and it's sort of got in the way. But by the technology is advancing all the time, so we change our fleet every few years to comply with the CAA regulations. It'd be like the UK marks, which come out of the EU. Drones now have to have a UK marking. That's to keep us compliant. So it allows us to fly closer to buildings, closer to people, and do those jobs, especially inspection work. You want to be up close to a building, looking at people's tiles, the awnings, the gutters, or the chimneys. You don't want to be 50 to 100 metres away, unless you're flying the seriously big stuff that we can fly, to get the job done. And you want to do it safe as well.
Yeah.
Your client wants to know, can you do the job? Is it safe? Is there any risks? So we're trying to eliminate all those risks to the point where it's safe to do and the client's happy, and obviously give us more work in the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk us through the techie bits, the nerdy bits of your drones. How many drones have you got?
So I've actually just sold three of them. Right. But I've still got seven. But we
see, I knew he was a nerd.
So we can cater for most jobs. So we have a mapping drone, which allows us to map buildings or locations, and then we can create 3D models from that data.
So who are the kind of clients for something like that?
So for that sort of thing, you'll be looking at construction companies, property management companies,
right.
Loads that have got a field, they're developers. They want to see progress reports over the months or years that site's been developed. So we can initially map the field before the first shovels hit the ground,
right,
to the point where the keys are handed over to a customer and they're moving into that house. And you can map that area, constant flight path, and it just basically builds the data. And obviously with AI technology nowadays, you can create some fantastic marketing work for that client to showcase that site. And also as well, you could pick up problems a lot earlier. Well, now someone walking around the site with a clipboard or a mobile phone, we could fly with a set route a month later, 2 weeks later. So, okay, why hasn't that been built yet? You're saying to me as a client, I mean, a developer could be, for example, in Australia, America, or China. They're being told by one thing by the guys on the site, yeah, we built that road, we built 10 houses. I turn, I put the drone up, send the client the data, well, where's the 10 houses? So it keeps them on their toes. So yeah. We're not there to spy. We're there to monitor, control, and assist the client. Also, help them save money, which is the main asset, saving money and doing it safely as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So that's your mapping drone. We've got six more to go, Mark.
So we have the mini drones. We have a lot of wedding work. So we have a little drone up filming the guests. We get nice and close. So it adds to the ground content, which we film as well. We have thermal. So as a client this morning, deals with solar panels. All new homes now have solar panels being fitted. So we can come and inspect them. And solar panels that are old, we can go and check the quality of them. Just go get a drink, sorry. So I'm getting a dry throat now.
Yeah, no. I've made you talk. Don't you worry.
Yeah. For the listeners, there's a drone flying and giving room. Michael some water.
Absolutely.
That's how we operate.
Drone delivery.
Just land it now. So we do thermal imagery for solar panels, solar farms. So you find a lot of solar panels that are fitted previously, they didn't have bird protection. They're trying to cut costs. So we can actually put a drone up, look at the property. Is it at risk of being damaged? Is it working efficiently? Do they just need a case of being cleaned?
Right.
So to do that, you probably have to put scaffolding up, cherry pickers. Yeah. So we're not there to eliminate the scaffolding. We are there to go, right, here's the data. Here's what you need to see. Then you can start going, well, now we need the scaffolding. Rather than put a scaffold up, oh, you don't need no work. You've just wasted a load of money.
I've got a business opportunity for you.
Love it.
Cat rescue.
We don't touch cats. We was doing animal rescue. People lose their dogs a lot. There is charities out there that use drones for dog rescue or search animal wildlife. A thermal drone, unfortunately, is very expensive. So we do charge for that service. Simply for the fact we put one of our thermal drones, you'd get £5,500.
And what are you doing? Just locating the.
Yes, yeah, so
we can't pick it up off my roof and put it down on the floor.
They'd probably jump off before they heard the drone. Yeah, we don't want to do that.
So
we can go out, we can actually scan. You're looking at a good 1 kilometre area in a matter of minutes, especially at night. The last call we had was a Sunday night at 10 pm. The dogs run away. So we're literally out in Boxley Woods trying to find it. We found it. But unfortunately, it was having the time of its life.
Is that, are you using heat sitting technology?
Yes, yeah, so using a thermal camera fitted to the drone, and it picks it all up, and it's fantastic.
I'm smiling, because you won't have seen this, back on Clarkson's farm.
Yes.
They had a thing about birds nesting in their wheat field and not being killed. So they had a drone operator come along and find all the heat spots for their nests, which turned out to be sheep poo.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, so similar story to that. So we was out in the box in the woods looking for this dog. We had the lady and her son was with us. So it was been searching for about 2 hours. We were working our way back to where we was. Drone's still up. We found a heat spot. We've seen a dog run up the path. He's like, yeah, I'm having fun. I'm, you know, I'm getting out of here. So there's a heat spot in the middle of that field. So the young lad pour through the hedge, through the barrier, over the gate, barbed wire gate at this point, across the field, goes right, left a bit, right a bit. Yeah, it's a fresh cow pat. And that was from 600 metres away with a camera.
Right.
But he had to check it. So from there, we then got just invested in 360 cameras by a drone, which is fantastic. So you want media footage, promotion footage, we can come along and create such fantastic footage to promote a venue. It's developing technology. And then we have the what we call content, which is called a Mavic 4 Pro. We use that for content and also thermal imagery, collecting data for properties. So you might not want the map inside, but you still need high-resonance images to pick up to send to your clients.
Yeah.
Especially got warehouses that we can't get too close. We can zoom in quite nicely.
Yeah.
And also we use that for doing our second side of our business, which is canvas prints.
Right, okay.
So we travel around Kent, find really nice locations, take aerial shots, find the best ones, get them printed on the canvas, and then we set them on our shop for our second website.
Yeah. I had my house on the market a couple of years ago, and I had a drone video it, because it was the best way of showing it, yeah? If you do static photographs up front, it's a bit naff, but with a drone flyover, you can see everything. Great, yeah. What would you say, Michael, is the most use that you get asked to do? Is it home sales?
So my lovest agents we try to work with. So more for us, it's inspection work. We do some work with Network Rail. We're a company through Network Rail, inspecting railway lines. So we're looking at the trees. Are they safe? Do they need cutting back? So that's a contract we do. That keeps us very busy during the summer period. But for us, it's working with weddings, finding really nice. Like, I mean, Kent, I think we've got 280 locations where people can get married.
Right.
So we try and go target all of those and get the content, because we've done one at a castle the other week and they absolutely loved it. So if we can go in and help them promote that venue, they get more content, they get more visitors, they get more weddings, they get more events. It's making them a lot of money. Yeah. And that's what we try to do. We enjoy it at a price that isn't thousands and thousands of pounds. We don't need to charge thousands. Because there's no, I'd rather have a customer who's a repeat and comes back all the time, every month, every week sort of thing.
Yeah.
Rather than say, well, I'm going to charge you £2,000, one-off job, never see you again.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Paul, he's being very modest there.
Is he?
That was one of our Synergy events, and he walked in and he said, do you think they'd let me fly my drone? I said, yeah, hang on. I just shouted to Katie, can we put a drone up? Yeah, she said. So when the meeting finished, he went out there, put his drone up, did a load of flying, didn't he?
Yep.
Came back in. And the following morning, he sent these videos, and they were just amazing.
Yeah,
and we sent them to the castle, and now he's got an appointment to go and see him for some more work. You know,
I was just going to say, event premises and locations, it must be a marketing no-brainer to have drone footage.
Absolutely,
you know, it's just a completely different level of content, isn't it?
I mean, as Sam was now as well doing FPV work, which is obviously first-person view flying. Line of sight inside the building and just and outside, mixing the two together. You're trying to showcase such a new hotel, new castle, for example. You want to promote that venue. People are adapting. Obviously, with AI as well nowadays, you look at a video, goes, was that drone or was that AI?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very difficult to tell. So with the videos I released this week, with just motor racing. Yeah. I actually had to explain that was done with three photos of three different cars from brands actually on Saturday, turn into a 15-second video, which would have cost somebody thousands of pounds to have produced. So AI is a good thing. It's also a bad thing. But it's like everything else. You adapt to the way the world works. You know, it used to be horse and cart. Then you moved on to vans and trucks. It's just evolving. And obviously, the youngsters nowadays, they're going to be learning all this technology. So we do a lot of visits to colleges, universities. So there's a world out there. It's not just put a drone in the air, take a photo or video. There's so many industries nowadays where you can come along and have a skill. And yes, you get to fly drones, but you're also doing a job, especially construction, property, nuclear power stations,
yeah,
all the big factories.
I mean, have you ever been asked to do drone work inside a pipe, you know, or a sewer or something like that?
We've been asked, yes. Also been asked, can we do the big drone shows? Unfortunately, if I had the $1 million budget and the big team behind me, I would love to do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Adam is out of our realms.
Right. 7 drones for a drone show. It'd be hilarious. Yeah.
I've seen worse.
So I want to kind of change tack a little bit now. And we've talked a lot about networking and the different groups you go to, and Synergy and Rookie CEO and stuff like that. When you talk about the drone work you do, how often do people go, I need you?
Quite a bit, actually. Yeah. Obviously, they say, can you do this? Is this possible? We'll say, we don't have an answer yet, but nothing's impossible. So, yes, I had one this morning, spoke to a potential client with 2 potential jobs. That's just through Chris, so through the network and meeting people. We also do help a lot of charities as well. So, obviously, we've got the one coming up in Sittingbourne for the community driving school. So, we go along, we offer our services, provide free footage to help them promote their event for the upcoming years. Right. We get a pitch there, we showcase our business, they get free footage. So we do quite a bit of work like that.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm. Yeah, no, that's good. Do you find people come up to you and go, I need, or do you talk to people and go, you could?
Yes, yeah. It's more you could.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, we can be out on the ground and, oh, can I have a look? So we go, once we have the drone, we show them the screen, they go, wow. Or we actually hook up to a massive TV in the back of the car, use a wireless HDMI cable. So a client can actually see what I'm looking at while looking at the big screen. So they might say, okay, can you just look at that area there for us without disturbing me? So we could be on the radio, so can you go right, left a bit? So hence why we started the second website, which is Marshall Sky Gallery. So people go, oh, that looks fantastic. Can I potentially take those images, turn it into artwork? So at the moment it's going quite well. We're still building up. So at the moment we are promoting it in 44 European countries, so on a Shopify store. Trying to get it going. It takes a long time to get it promoted, and obviously get the media out there. So we are here.
Right.
But yeah, so we have a lot of clients. It's more curiosity. Unfortunately, a lot of people see what's on YouTube, TikTok, and go, well, you can't fly that here. And once you educate and talk, and we're not here to spy on you, we're doing a job, and this is what's possible. And they go, wow.
Right.
So, yeah, so it's getting more, it's more educational for people.
Okay, cool. Right. Are you pleased that you started your own business?
Sometimes I wonder, what am I doing? Going from having a job paid every week or 2 incomes coming in and go, yeah, we're all right, to like, how are we paying the mortgage this month? How are we paying the bills? So it's during the winter periods.
Yeah.
I'll be lost 4 months because of bad weather from January through to the last 4 months.
Right.
There's then picking up other work. Okay, what can we do? We can't fly drones. What can we do inside? So we still have weddings going on. We had internal events. We could do ground footage. Last week we had the backup driving to keep the business going, ticking over. So there's still money coming in.
Right.
But sometimes it's going, you should, you know. But we will be fine. Come summer, it balances out.
Yeah. I mean, it's like anything. A lot of businesses are seasonal. I did a TV interview once. It was ridiculous, right? I was interviewed on TV because I'm quite a business guru. I don't know why they interviewed me, but they did. And they had a video there of a farmer that was growing pumpkins, right, for sale at Halloween. And at the end of the video clip, the presenter of the TV show went, as a businessman, what would you say about this farmer that has an incredibly niche seasonal business? And I looked at him and I said, all farming's seasonal.
Yeah.
And he went, yeah, but this is in a narrow bandwidth. I went, all farming is in a narrow bandwidth. What are you talking about? But, you know, lots of businesses are seasonal.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's nothing you can do about that. Yeah. As you say, you just need to have a backup, or you make enough in the on-season
yes,
to have a nice long rest.
That's it.
No, that's cool. Anything... You know, talking about Rookie CEO and things like that, has anything really vexed you starting a business that you probably wouldn't have thought of when you first had the idea of going, I know, I'm going to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah. it's seeing other people doing it, making loads of money, but they're doing it all wrong.
Right.
And if anything, illegal. I mean, like I say, it's any business. Anybody can say, oh, no, a bloke down the pub, you could do it for 50 quid, 20 quid sort of
this
thing.
This is a problem, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's the same in any industry. There's already somebody who can do it cheaper. Yeah. So, okay, you can have it cheaper, but do you want it legit and legal? And if someone was to come knocking on your door and question you, can you say, yes, we've done everything legal, we've done all the preventive measures. So if something does go wrong, plane falls out of the sky, due to fault, we've got ourselves covered.
Yeah.
So we do struggle with that. Because vexing, it's when you get the know-it-alls. You can't do that. You can't run a business. I can do it cheaper than you. You don't know what you're doing. I was in this business going from not having any clue about running a business to having so many hats, from learning about money, running a business, promoting, advertising, learning video editing.
Right, okay.
All those sort of things, and learning how to put, I know you're the expert in doing your Instagram, always out every week. It's like, how does he do it? from my partner as well, she's been learning. So she does my diary for me, tells me where to be and what to do. So for us, and working from home, it's been tough, but it is rewarding. We love it.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. Michael, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
Thank you.
Give people a shout out for how they can find out about you or book your work. You have a website?
We have two websites. I'm greedy. So we've got marshallsdroneservices.com. That showcases all our survey, inspection, festival bookings. And our second website is marshallskygallery.com, where we've got a load of images up there we've taken from around Kent in different sizes. You go into Shopify, you can buy them, and we have them delivered direct to your door. And also, we can actually come to your premises. You've got a big corporate business or an office, we can actually come take photos. You choose the one you want. We then get printed how you want them in many sizes.
Fantastic. Michael, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
And we wish you continued success and all power to your elbow. We've got a couple more messages, and then we're going to talk to our next guest.
Hello? Can anybody hear me?
Advertising your business can sometimes feel like you're trapped down a well, waiting for someone to respond. Choosing to market your business with fuzzy logic, you won't just be heard, you'll be seen. We offer websites, social media and content creation packages that are fully bespoke to you and your business. And the best thing about it, we're affordable. So stop hiding and boost your digital presence using the power of fuzzy logic. Visit www.fuzzy.studio for more information.
Do you need a reliable property management service or lettings agent? PJJS is a well-established property management and residential lettings company in Maidstone, Kent, which deliver an effective and efficient quality service. Call us now on +44 78 55 746 966.
Hello, Kent businesses. Tired of networking events that don't deliver? Synergy Networking Events has got you covered, whether you're a networking newbie or a seasoned pro. Our events make networking a breeze. Meet other businesses without the pressure. Enjoy pre-planned seating table moves and even a buffet. All for just £20 for non-members and £10 for members. Build relationships that last and get a result on your investment.
Okay, thank you for those messages of support. We're going to come to Sam again. I want to ask you a personal question first, Sam. Sam,
oh God, yeah, no, well, I didn't sign up for this, Paul.
No. Sam Fuzzard. It's an interesting surname. What's this? Where's it from?
And my dad. That is that's all I can go with. I've not actually researched. Okay. I've not had time.
All right,
I've been too busy trying to grow hair.
I'm just about to launch another radio show called Different Gravy, in which I explore sayings, memes, slang terms, and their entomology. So I'm fascinated by the entomology of things.
Well, if you can do the research for me,
I will let you know.
That'd be great.
Yeah,
thank you.
So Sam, we talked about your social business earlier, but now we're going to talk about your other business.
Yes.
Yeah, Fuzzy Logic.
Fuzzy Logic, yes. Do you want me to do a quick intro?
Yes, please.
God, it's like I'm being back at networking again. Quick 60 seconds. You timing this, Paul?
Yeah, I am. There we are. I've got a big buzzer.
Fuzzy Logic, we are a one-stop shop for everything marketing. We are a team of experts that focus on every single sector when it comes to marketing. So whether you do want a drone shot, whether you want a website, whether you want SEO, search engine optimization, including AI stuff, we really do specialize in the fact that you can come to one point of contact and we can run your entire marketing, or we can just do your business card. I have a long history of dealing with loads of different agencies and the headaches that you get because they're not all aligned and they're not all speaking to each other, and all of a sudden your branding isn't consistent and you've lost trust in your clients. So that's one thing that I really do specialize in, and I absolutely love it. And at first it was just me, but now there's a team of 11 of us, which I'm extremely proud of, and I still get to do what I love. So yeah, it's a win-win.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit about your background. How did
me.
You... You.
Behind me now, physically?
Yeah.
There's a lot of green screen going on. So my parents bought a pub when I was 15. And I'm not sure I should be saying this over the radio, but I ended up being very involved in a pub at the age of 15 behind the bar.
Was that drinking the stock or just helping?
No comment. And... and I got really involved in running a business early on in my life. Was studying business studies as soon as I could, really. And I think the only thing I got A in was maths. So I knew numbers and I knew how to make business. And very quickly knew how to drink. So a very bad combination. But I supported that business. I supported my parents' business with multiple things. And it just taught me how to, one, speak to people, because that's one thing behind the bar is very quickly learning how to speak to strangers constantly. So I'm just 24/7 networking at such a young age. And dealing with digital marketing, dealing with trying to run the website, get websites going, how to create a booking system to book tables, create a booking system to sell tickets. And this was all before I was 17. And then at 18, I got headhunted by Arcadia. Which I know that that's not my fault, they're not around anymore, but I was the productivity and performance analyst because I got very involved in getting things streamlined as much as possible. So picking a piece of clothing from once it's delivered to then getting it delivered to the last mile to the client.
Yeah.
I was obsessed with that. And then I got headhunted again by Amazon. So I supported the Amazon Logistics, which we all know today is the parcel that's in your back garden. That's probably Amazon Logistics.
Or someone's back garden.
Someone's back garden, yeah. I think that's every, actually. So when I joined Amazon Logistics, there was just two sites. There was one in Bromley and one in Milton Keynes. And I was living in Milton Keynes at the time. That's when I met my now wife, who was studying law in Kent. And that's the reason why we're here, actually. Today, I've just fast-forwarded. Anyway, so at Amazon, I really did cherish those 5 years I spent at Amazon, because the leadership principles behind that business is amazing. Right. And to support a business go from two stations delivering to 72 across the country within that space of 5 years is unbelievable. Mm. And then from then on, I got headhunted again by somebody who provided them with the drivers. So I was basically, I went from dealing with parcels to then dealing with drivers, which is that's the reason why I'm bald, by the way. And all of that just took away of that was a small business back then that I got headhunted by, and then they went from one station to about nine across the country within the space of 2 years. So I saw that as an opportunity. If I can make that happen, I can make that happen for me, not for delivering. That's not what I wanted to get involved with, but I could definitely get involved with supporting more small businesses with their growth. So at first, when Fuzzy Logic started, we were very heavily focused around automation. That's something that I have 15 years experience doing, streamlining service, streamlining operations using tech. That's how I've managed my neurodivergence as well.
Okay.
Technology.
Right.
And so that's how Fuzzy Logic started. But 2.5 years ago, when we launched, there was no real demand for it. And people still don't even know nowadays the difference between AI and automation.
Yeah, sure.
So we then took a different route. We went down the marketing agency route, which is what we are. We're a digital marketing agency. Mm. And we have been for 2.5 years. But I went on to a paternity leave beginning of March with second child. He's now 3 months old. And I got bored on day two. I took 2 months. I blocked out 2 months. I was like, look, I've done really well in this business. I'm going to block out 2 months. No one-to-ones, no work. I got bored on day two and decided, well, I'm going to go back to square one. I want to do automation again. So Because we, at the time, we were spending £500 a month on CRM systems, on MailChimp, on... I don't know if I should be calling them out, but they are so expensive when you add them all up.
Yeah.
And they're not, they don't all talk to each other. So I decided I'm going to spend 2 months studying and building our own system that has everything inside it, from contact data to signing documents to... Honestly, everything isn't within this app. We built it for us originally. I built it for me because I'm like, I want to save money and I want it to really boost our business. Right. And then after a month, I'm like, I could sell this. So within 2 months, we're now on the App Store as well. If you want to search Fuzzy Logic on the App Store, we now have an app. And basically, we now offer what we were meant to offer 2.5 years ago, which is a fully automated system to run your business.
Right.
And that's something that I'm extremely proud of. And I would say that I'm more of an expert in than content. But over the last 2.5 years, because we are a digital marketing agency, I've definitely kind of gained this reputation of being a content creator, which I'm more than happy with doing.
Yeah.
It's a hobby more than anything. And I won't lie, I'm pretty good at it. But my expertise are, funnily enough, automation.
I mean, that's really, really interesting. And it's interesting that you said that, because it's changed the kind of questions I was going to ask you.
I apologize.
No, perfectly, because you've kind of answered the kind of things I was going to say anyway. One of the things about website design and stuff like that, a lot of people now are trying to DIY it. You know, you have, on the one hand, you have things like Wix, and then you have AI, where you can go to AI and go, design me a website, and it will design your website. But one of my things about that is, but it's pretty basic stuff, And nowadays, a website is more than just a brochure. If you're just going to do a brochure, why bother? It is about doing something. So what you've done, I mean, I was going to call it a CMS, but it's much more than that,
A CRM, you mean? Yeah, it's definitely more than that. It's something that we pride ourselves in, being a one-stop shop. This app is definitely a one-stop shop. Yeah. And even if it is not for your industry, we have been working, it's only been live for like a month. We've been working with industries to basically bespoke that system even more for them. Mm-hmm. So basically, our idea is they have employees that go onto their computer, the first thing they open up and the last thing they open up is the Fuzzy Logic system, because it's the home screen, everything is in one system, and it's just streamlined, and I'm extremely proud of it.
Yeah, I mean, it used to drive me mad years ago when I was doing things like this, that you could buy in a number of products, and you might get them all to interface to each other and kind of half work. And then one of them would do an upgrade and everything else would stop. Mm. Yeah. And you just go...
You lose that connection. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just go, you just ruined my entire business by changing that without asking me.
Yeah.
And without thinking about what I've got plugged into it. Mm. Yeah. So I can see a massive benefit from a bespoke system.
Yeah.
An integrated bespoke system.
Yeah. Like since we launched it, we've not really gone like... full throttle yet on marketing, but we've had so much interest, and that's the reason why we have 14-day free trials.
Yeah.
We have exclusive 30-day free trials to people that meet me in person. It is something that we're extremely proud of, and going back onto the web design side of things, like that is something that I'm extremely passionate about. Within the first 6 months of running Fuzzy Logic, I had to recover 3 websites because the person that they were hosting their site, an independent business, because we don't understand how our website hosting works. We don't understand servers. We just assume it's in a cloud somewhere. But what we don't realize is our website is in the hands of another business, and they have the power to basically ruin your business. So we are one of extremely few digital marketing agencies where we actually set up a web WordPress account for that business, set up under the business. So once we leave. We're not tracking anyone into a contract. And what we're really proud of is that we offer that within our CRM system. So like if you're paying, so it's only £99 a month, which is a crazy amount, and that actually includes website hosting. So if you really want to give it a go and design your own site, not only do you have the tools to do it, AI can build that site for you. But we all know we all grow. And my advice, and it always will be from day one, grow to the business you want to be. Create a website to the business you want to be. Don't create a website to the business that you are now, because that's never going to attract your ideal client.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're always chasing your tail as well.
Yeah.
You know, you spend, you know, most businesses, the website is an adjunct to their business. If you have to keep changing it every 10 minutes because you didn't design it right in the first place, then you're out of the water. Absolutely. Where are we with things? You mentioned WordPress there, which is something. I mean, all of my radio websites are based on WordPress. Mm-hmm. It's a nice system to use. It has its own CMS, which is quite good. What are the kind of things that are happening in website design at the moment? You know, I've struggled with this, if I'm honest. You know, a lot of businesses, especially small businesses, come along and go, should I have a website? And you go, well, yeah, I think you should. Yeah, because that's what most people look for when you first talk to them.
Yeah.
Is, do you have a website? It's a bit like saying, should I be on LinkedIn? Yeah. Well, yeah, of course you should. Yeah. Have you got any thoughts about that, Sam?
I think websites, like what I love about our business is the fact that we can provide legitimate advice bespoke to that business. So we can say, like, look at your budget, look at where you are within your business. So we wouldn't just go, like, because we do websites, we're going to sell you a website. We'll look at, because we offer everything, this is my advice to you now is, look, looking at your budget, the best thing you can do, because you're networking, hand out business cards. That QR code or the business card will be a social media account, because you can't afford a website right now. There's no point. Cash flow is an important thing. And that we're not here to missell anyone, anything that they don't need. But yes, you are right. If we want to grow as businesses, websites are an essential part of that. Mm. But one thing that people don't take into consideration is the fact that we still need to be seen. Like, no one types in www.yourbusinessname.com. No one does that. People just type it into their browser. The first thing that comes up is Google. And if you're not on the first few rankings, then you are not going to be seen, and end of. So it is a big investment, and it's time. Like, ranking the top five of Google is not an overnight job unless you want to pay for Google ads.
Yeah.
And it, again, it's just all dependent on budget. Yeah. So websites are essential. I always advise everyone, like, again, create a website that you're going to grow into. So when it comes to, like, drag and drop sites, people pay for them, not realizing they've paid like 3 years in advance, or they've signed up to a contract for like 2 years. That means that's holding you back, because you're now trapped in that drag and drop system that looks just like it was made on a phone. You are better off investing in something like WordPress, I believe. And if people specifically want websites that are Wix or Squarespace, we collaborate with companies that create those.
Right.
So, you know, we're fully bespoke, and we understand the customer's always right, but we can only advise.
Yeah, absolutely. But, like, it's one of those difficult things, isn't it, especially for fairly early stage businesses that, you know, they go, I don't know if I've got the money to do this.
Yeah.
But it's like a lot of things. If you don't invest properly up front, you're always going to be struggling and coming from behind.
Yeah. And a lot of businesses understand that. And again, the reason why I love Fuzzy Logic is because we offer so much. The more you get through us, the more savings you get. Because if you were to use 6 or 7 different businesses for, like, business cards, website, banners, social media management, all that lot, it's going to cost you an absolute fortune. Mm. Going to one source, the discounts you can get, because it's all going through one point of contact, not only are you benefiting from having a fully aligned brand, but you're benefiting from the cost aspect as well.
Yeah.
And our ideal client, people always ask the question, what's your ideal client? Mm. Our ideal client is the fact that people understand, the ones that understand marketing is the most important part of any business.
Yeah,
because if no one knows who you are, you could be an expert at what you do, which is, funnily enough, actually, how I met most of my team. They're absolute experts at what they do. They just can't market their own business, which is not a shameful thing, because for us to be experts, we have to spend at least 10,000 hours doing the same thing.
Yeah.
That 10,000 hours does not include marketing your business. Do you know what I mean? So if you're
I totally get that. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the things, just in talking about in the round, and as someone that has started, built, and sold a lot of companies, it becomes harder and harder. Not just the business that you do, but stuff like, I've got an idea for a business. I'm going to call it this. No, I can't call it that. That's already gone. Yeah. It's trying to bear in mind all the resources, the URLs, the social media, all the other things that you need. When you're trying to think of a name for a business, even, it's not easy anymore.
It's not. I definitely gave myself the biggest challenge, which was to name a business something that, yes, is quite catchy, but it doesn't have marketing in the title, does not have anything that it really does in the title.
Yeah.
So then the challenge is, right, we need to up our branding, we need to up our awareness. Yeah. And I think a lot of people in Kent now know who Fuzzy Logic are, but it's not been easy at all. Yeah. If we called ourselves Kent's Marketing Agency, we'd have grown a lot quicker.
Right.
Would I have been proud of it? Probably not.
Yeah.
One, because my name is not on it. And I've got a big ego.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. I mean, I was lucky when I launched Jobs in Kent that the title of the business and the title of the website is a search argument.
Exactly right. Yeah.
So we've been top of Google and Yahoo and Bing and everything for 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people go, I want a job in Kent.
Yeah,
and exactly. So we come up because it's an exact match. Yeah. But that was luck rather than a judgment, because back in those days, we'd never even heard of SEO.
Yeah.
But now SEO is moving on and you've got AI-based things exactly. to think
you
about.
You touched on it earlier. It's you'll have a conversation with AI and it will start asking you, or it'll start giving you advice on who to contact nearby.
Yeah.
That is in a form of SEO. And yeah, that's exactly what our SEO expert Dan specializes in, is focusing on the future of what SEO looks like. Mm. Like, I'm very proud to have a team of experts that are so proud to be niched down. Like, for me personally, I'm not sure if it's a neurodivergent thing, but I love tipping my toe in loads of different things. And that's why I need that team behind me 100%, because you can't become an expert in something if you have a short attention span.
You're all over the place going, oh, let's do this. Oh,
but
let's
I love learning from all of my team. They come up to me every week and go, because we have a weekly meeting every Wednesday. This morning, funnily enough. And just what they share with me is just like, that's absolutely amazing. And every now and again, I'll jump into a service. So like, if somebody wants a website doing that I know is quite basic, and I'm like, I might do that myself, and then just get Tracy, to our website expert, to look over it. That is the best thing. If you're nowhere divergent, just try and grow a business that has loads of different services, because I'm never bored, I tell you that.
Absolutely. A kind of structural question here. Do you have offices where you all work, or work from home?
So we don't all work together in the same office every day. Most Wednesdays, most of us are in. We're based currently at Platform 26 in Chatham.
Oh, where, sorry?
Platform 26 in Chatham.
Right, okay, yeah, okay.
So it's a nice little unit at the top. I'm really proud of it. It's quite iconic with the chairs. I think people that follow me on social media. If you're not following me on social media, please follow me. Thank you very much. I'm out.
I'm smiling because I'm really old. I'm really old. And when I was a teenager, there used to be a shoe shop called Platform 26.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because they sold platform shoes.
That's a smart move.
Yeah.
And they only had 26 in stock.
26 versions.
Yeah.
That was probably what it was.
Yeah. Cool. Sam, just go over the range of services that Fuzzy Logic is offering and the kind of things that you do for people.
So what we really love doing is just coming in from day one and going, right, this is what you need, because we offer literally everything. So from paid ads, from business cards, we have printing, we have designing. Honestly, anything marketing related, we continue to grow that. So we see opportunities when we're networking, especially at Synergy. I come across some amazing people where I'm like, actually, I'm really intrigued with what you do. Because even though you're not advertising as a marketing sector, if you're an expert, let's just say in AI, I would love to understand how you can basically join hashtag Team Fuzzy and offer like a website that has AI integrated within it. So we're actually already doing that with quite a lot of businesses at the moment, where basically I can offer like packages, like passive income, basically. But yeah. I can offer packages that are fully automated that uses Claude in the background to basically do all the work. So you provide payment, Claude does all the work, provides you with what you request and what you paid for, done.
Right.
That's something that we're working on currently using our CRM.
Right.
It's honestly an amazing tool, and I love... Like, I get really bored of history. I'm really sorry, I'm that guy. If you took me to, like, Warwick Castle or something, I would just walk around on my phone, because I'm not disrespectful, but I am so passionate about the future that that's all I study is what tomorrow looks like. And I want to be the first one there.
Right. It's interesting. When I was a kid, I was a massive reader of science fiction. And there were some science fiction authors that were just unbelievably accurate about the future, and there was programs on TV like Tomorrow's World which just weren't. According to them, we'd all be going around on jetpacks and
hoverboards.
I think you can watch The Simpsons. Apparently Simpsons have been quite accurate on future events, and the timeline has worked quite well.
I will be buying a hoverboard as soon as they're available.
Absolutely. it is fascinating because we're at one of those crossroads, I think, where, I mean, we're talking about it a lot now, about AI data centers, mm-hmm. And how that's the future, and our politicians can't keep up with that, and, you know, they haven't worked out that to have a data center you need some energy and some water, two things that we seem remarkably short of these days. But there's also a kind of scare tactic. I'm just, last couple of minutes on air, a lot of people are scared, they're worried about AI taking their jobs or whatever, but I also see it as a massive growth opportunity. And I am so old that when I started working in computers in 1971, there were only two computers in Kent, and everybody went, that'll never catch on. And then when it did, and people started to panic, oh, computers are going to take over the world, nobody realised the amount of work that would create, which was a completely different level of things. Yeah. Mm. What do you see as the future for things like that?
I think you are right. Like, the future is a perception anyway, because the future could mean the next 20 years, then the future could mean the next 1,000 years. Yeah. So let's just not overwhelm ourselves too much, but let's just say the next 5 years. The next 5 years, data centers are going to be all over the place, unfortunately. And it's a very hot day today, and it's very likely because of that, I'm afraid. Global warming is real, and data centers are not going to help. The amount of power it takes to have an AI just to compute an image, it's unbelievable. However, we all seen this, right? We had floppy disks how long ago? That was, what, 2 megabytes?
Yeah.
I now have a 1 terabyte SD card the size of my nail, and this camera that's pointing at me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Things will change. Things will improve. Yeah. But we, as businesses, we just need to latch on to AI. That's my biggest advice.
Absolutely. Sam, thank you so much for that. Give us a shout out for the Fuzzy Logic website.
It's I did it again. Anyway, it's fuzzy.studio. But if you want to sign up to our CRM 14-day free trial, it's fuzzylogic.systems.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
Can I just say, Sam came and shot footage at our last summit. He came with Katie, didn't we? And then sent me about 150 images. And they're just amazing.
Right.
And some of them, they are so professional. You just cannot believe the pictures. I took them up, didn't I? It's really bad for a networking person. But the pictures of the table numbers and the question cards with the soft focus things in the background, you're just going through these pictures going, I can use that, I can use that, I can use that. Just so worthwhile.
One thing that I'll never lose is I always want to exceed expectations of my clients. Yeah. So I always try and make sure that I make a very clear expectation. Like I said to Linda, you'll have everything within 4 weeks. Right. She received everything, most things the next day, didn't she?
Yeah.
But I love exceeding expectations, and I always will. My team hate it because I'm on their case all the time, but I love making clients happy.
Fantastic. Thank you all so much. We've reached the end of the show. A huge thank you to Chris Enderby for co-hosting the show, and to our two fabulous guests, Sam Fuzzard and Michael Marshall. Thank you so much for being on the show. Have a safe time, everybody. We'll be back next week. Bye
for now.
Thank you very
much.
Thank you for listening to the Business Network Show, featuring Jill Russell of the Jill Russell Consultancy and Linda Cloak, founder of Synergy Networking Events.